Welcome and bienvenidos to Mariachi DNA, a puro mariachi podcast. Grab your favorite tequila, sit back and enjoy.
Hey, Rodri.
Hey, Tiger.
We're still here.
They haven't shut us down yet.
No. I think, you know.
But I've only said like two or three coños, so I think that's okay, no?
Yeah, I think you've hit your, you know, we might have hit the coño limit on that on the last podcast, but we're all good.
We're getting ready to travel a little bit to the east from Los Angeles. We've been covering the celebration of Mariachi USA's 35th at the Hollywood Bowl. And in so doing, we are celebrating those that have shared the stage at the Hollywood Bowl since year one in 1990, and also assisted in establishing the history here in the United States, because Mariachi USA From My Heart was created to showcase and pay tribute to the groups that were launched and live and work in the United States. Those very mariachis that perform for you at all of your celebrations, and those that you see in your city and your state, and those that travel to perform everywhere in the United States. Sin quitarle nada a Mexico, we've invited many groups from Mexico. We've invited the Vargas, Nuevo Tecalitlan, America.
Internacional Guadalajara. Internacional,
yes. There's so many groups. We always invite them to participate. Yes. And Nuevo Tecalitlan Femenil, Perlitas Tapatías.
Yes.
However, the main portion of our show, of almost 5 hours of a show format, is dedicated to our mariachis here in the United States. And when we're talking about tradition and trajectory and legendary, you cannot use those words and not include Campanas de America, which was launched. I mean, Tiger here, I'm preaching to the choir, but Tiger is second violin in that group, and the group had already been formed when Tiger joined, but
just barely. I cut in on the last part of the birth. Like I was right there during the infancy, the toddler stage.
But I know that he is the musician he is today because of Campanas de America. And to further talk, because you and I can just take the microphone and run with it.
No, let's go to the source here. Let's go to my maestro.
Oh, we want to hear all the good stuff from none other than Maestro Juan Ortiz. Welcome. Bienvenido, señor. Maestro.
Oh, gracias. Thank you, Rodri. Thank you, Antonio. Qué honor, qué privilegio de que me hayan incluido en estas pláticas. I'm really excited about being on the podcast. I think this is my very first ever podcast.
Oh, what a privilege. Spill the tea, Juan. Spill the tea.
You know, Juan, we're brothers. I mean, because you put the violin in my hand. You had the faith in me when I didn't know, you know, if I could do it or not. And you've walked alongside me this whole journey of our 40 plus years of standing side by side on stage and performing. So I know everything about you, Juan, even things that we can't say on this podcast.
And right. I was remiss in mentioning that Campana's home, their nest is San Antonio, Texas, Ajua.
That's right.
Ajua, but San Antonio, Texas.
That's right. I think it's important for everyone listening to not only hear what we're going to do, but where we come from. So just share a little bit of your beginning, how mariachi music was a part of your life, how you got into it, and what it meant to you in those early days.
Gracias. My beginnings and my introduction to music. Mi mamá me introdujo a lo que es el mundo de la música. My mother was a master pianist, and she wanted her son, me, to be a pianist as well, pero she is the one that responsible for me learning my first lessons when I was 4 years old, starting the piano. And then the love grew for music. I was involved with sports for many years. Muchos años yo pensaba que iba a ser un futbolista americano, pero no, no sé eso, de, porque después de que me quedé las dos rodillas y los dos tobillos,
oh my God.
El doctor me dijo, you know, you got a choice, Mr. Ortiz. If you want to if you want to have a stiff leg for the rest of your life, fine, keep on playing. But it's, so regresé a lo que a mi primer amor. I went back to my first love, which was music. I got in the choir, and I became a part of the first mariachi classes at Sidney Lanier High School. And then I started pursuing, thinking that I could become an opera singer. Yo pensaba que iba a cantar ópera porque me gustaba mucho, mucho cantar. Y siempre tenía como ejemplo, mi favorita era Mario Lanza. Mario Lanza was a very good. And then I was blessed that I was born in a very, very good time because I got to hear big band. I got to hear opera. I got to hear choirs. I got to hear mariachis. I got to hear gospel music. I got to hear all of these things. It was about 9 years after World War II. So it was a very eclectic time. And un momento que cuando nace uno en los inicios años de los 50, pues me tocó un poquito de todo. So from there in 1974, I was part of the first college mariachi class at San Antonio College aquí, and Bell was the instructor, and then I was also at that time starting to implement all the instruments of mariachi, vihuela, guitarrón, los violines, and we started initiating that particular class. So yo comencé a tocar profesional con los mariachis en 1975 is when I started playing with mariachis professionally, and it was still what I considered a golden era. 1975, the mariachi was really big in the 1960s. The very first cultural art center in the United States of America was El Teatro Alameda, aquí en San Antonio. And that was initiated back in the 40s. Y alcancé a ver todos los grandes artistas, las caravanas, all the shows that came in, Lola Beltrán, José Alfredo Jiménez, Miguel Aceves Mejía. So it was kind of a golden era también en San Antonio. Teníamos el mariachi Chapultepec. And a mí me tocó tocar con los mariachi Los Parientes y el mariachi Azteca de San Antonio, pero back again in 1976 when I started playing with these groups.
In the 1900s.
And so from there, being part of the San Antonio College Mariachi, Bell went ahead and recommended me to go teach some people from the administration at Texas A&I Agricultural and Industry School, Texas A&I, which is now Texas A&M Kingsville.
Right.
They were looking for a mariachi program, mariachi instructor, and Bell asked me if I would be interested to go over there. So I went to the University of A&I and started the mariachi program 77 all the way to 79. So that was my first stint at teaching mariachi, you know. So inicié mis estudios y dando clases en la Universidad de Texas A&I en 1980 y 79. In 1980 I came back to San Antonio and I became the very first mariachi instructor for the San Antonio Independent School District. But wow. In 1978, comenzó algo muy, muy especial en mi vida, porque at that time I realized mariachis were already set in their ways. Ya tenían mariachis, ya tenían callo, ya tenían colmillo, ya tenían todo lo que tenían que. Y yo entré en un tiempo y que no, yo sabía que no iba a cambiar los modos ni las costumbres del mariachi. Así es que yo dije, voy a iniciar mi propio grupo. I'm going to start my own group. Young kids, vamos a comenzar con juventud. Y los escogí de las escuelas aquí en San Antonio. Inició el mariachi universal.
Universal.
Universal, that's what I first called them. And in 1977 was when we first made contact with Mariachi Vargas so we could have our first mariachi festival, but it took us 2 years. So in 1979 fue el primer año de la Conferencia Internacional de Mariachi, 1979, a historic event which Bella and I invited all students and teachers and programs all over the United States and all over Mexico to come and participate in the studies, and our teachers and our master teachers were going to be Mauricio Vargas de Tecalitlan. So by late 1979, going into 1980, Mauricio Vargas, we were in Mexico City, DF, and Mauricio Vargas was throwing us a little cookout there at the Bosque del Aragón. It's their part real close to where they were living, Mauricio Vargas. Y estaba Pepe Martínez hablando con nosotros y dice, mira, Juan, tu grupo suena bien, dice, nomás que tu nombre es muy mal. Mariachi Universal no tiene nada que ofrecer. He said, you know, so you're going to have to change
in modern terms, he said, your name sucked.
Yeah. That's exactly what it was. Your name sucked. That's what he said. Nomás que, dice, mira, vamos a iniciarte y te vamos a bautizar con un nombre nuevo. Mira, háblale a tu señora, háblale a Bell. A propósito, Juan, ¿qué quiere decir Bell? Dice, campanas, quiere decir campanas. Ahí está tu nombre, el Mariachi Campanas de América. Y lo iniciamos y ellos nos bautizaron con ese nombre en 1980. We were christened Campanas de América en 1980, and that was the year that we came in first place at the Mariachi competition. Wow. At that particular part. So,
you know, and for those listening, you hear Mr. Juan Ortiz, maestro, say the name Bell and Bell, and he's referring to his wife and someone who we consider to be the matriarch, the mother of mariachi education in the United States. Her story is an incredible. You can actually see about it in a documentary that Campanas and we are produced called Suena la Educación. You can see it on YouTube, but she has an amazing story too. But the partnership between Juan and Bell was something that created many, many great things that Juan is recalling. So when you hear him say Bell, we of course are thinking of our Bell Ortiz. Go ahead.
We have very strong ties with that title of Godmother of Mariachi Education. That was given to Bell by the late and the great Laura Sobrino. She is the one that documented that, and because of that, that name stuck with Bell. And although mariachi programs existed everywhere, and mariachi classes were being taught, but I was blessed that I could bring in my music discipline, and instead of teaching repertoire, instead of teaching songs, I went in the direction of a music teacher, a music class. And that's when we started to learn reading your scales, reading your clefs, learning your scales, playing exercises. So we changed the attitude and we changed the method and the curriculum for mariachi in an educational environment was established back then by Bell. So by 1980, because I was the first mariachi instructor at the San Antonio Independent School District. And it was in 1983 that Daniel Sheehy, now I'm talking about Laura Sobrino, Dan Sheehy, these are people that were all involved in the very first mariachi festival, 1979. And Dan Sheehy was working at Washington, D.C., and he was working for the Smithsonian program. And he said, Juan, I'm in charge of the folk arts program over here. Would you be interested in being the very first mariachi folk master teacher for the fine arts, for the arts, the National Endowment of the Arts here? And I said, a little, because it was my honor. So yeah. Daniel went ahead and gave me that distinction, and I started teaching all over Texas as being sponsored by the National Endowment for the Arts. So it was a very, very...
What a gift.
Pivotal,
what a gift to all of Texas.
It was. It was. And as Anthony was saying, these are moments that the door, someone's knocking at your door, and you either open it or you don't. And of course, you don't realize what you're doing at that time, but we do acknowledge now after you think about that, ya que han pasado, como han pasado los años. Now you start to reflect on on everything that was accomplished. And you know, the vision, I remember seeing Rodri for the very first time. And I think she was with a group of ladies at the Universal, something having to do with the Universal Studios, I think it was. And we started doing programs there at the Universal Studios. And thank God that Universal didn't have the vision, but this lady, Rodri, had the vision far greater to take mariachi to a different tier, a different level. Y Rodri tenía la visión y tenía el ánimo, tenía el amor y la pasión para tener esa visión de tener un escenario espectacular en lo que es el Hollywood Bowl. So, Rodri, you know, you've given us a different stage, a different tier for us to legitimize our art form. So we are indebted to you.
Thank you, Juan. Thank you. It's heartfelt. And coming back from your trajectory and coming to the Hollywood Bowl stage, and that very first year that you shared that stage with Mariachi Vargas and Los Camperos de Naticano and with Jose Hernandez, Sol de Mexico, there were four of you on that stage. And what did it feel like for you, really feel like, just as an individual, not as the director of Campanas, but just as an individual, when you stepped on that stage? Maybe you felt it during rehearsal when you know when that turntable turned and there you were with 18,000 people. We were sold out. No, we were sold out. There were 2,000 people that couldn't get in, and they didn't leave. They stayed outside of the bowl because they wanted to be there and to at least listen to all the mariachis together. What did that do to your heart?
Well, I'll tell you what, Bina. We can practice. We can simulate. We can do everything, but nothing equals the feeling upon that stage turn and to have the honor of being the first mariachi to play at the Hollywood Bowl and to see an endless sea of people all the way to the top. It felt surreal. Era una emoción que no podía sentir el escenario, no podía ver una persona. I saw nothing but light. I saw nothing but light. Mm. And it was an epiphany. It was a spiritual renaissance, un renacimiento espiritual, because these are venues, estos son escenarios que pues uno nomás aspira para poder llegar a esos escenarios. We can only dream of playing in those venues where the world's greatest performers have played. So when we did that one, it was, it took probably, I'm going to say, a whole year for me to come down. Porque to say that,
I don't think you've come down yet, honestly, Juan.
No, it's taken 35 years,
Juan. It's been carrying Juan for 35 years.
It has. The magic doesn't dissipate. Lo que la energía y ese elemento que es mágico no se termina, siempre sigue y sigue más fuerte. It's always the same, and it's something that only many musicians can only dream of. I wish I could play at these venues, you know. So definitely it was one of my bucket list, and I took that off already, the bucket list. We've played at the Hollywood Bowl.
And you've played it more than once. And you, as you're not, again, you know, it's, we talk about mariachi musicians, but they're musicians that play mariachi. And you are a full-blown entertainer. You are a showman, and you have trained and shown those that play in your group to be exactly that. And I love watching you, because when you get up on that stage and you're doing your thing, wow. And many have followed, you know, in your footsteps. And, you know, you've got Roland, you know, your son.
That's what I was going to say. You know, it was a quartet unequaled. It was four musketeers. It was Bell, Roland, Anthony, and myself that shared the same vision, you know. So the Hollywood Bowl just gave us a venue, something to make it become a reality. And I feel good because I've always included, I always like to say this, because I've always included women in Campanas de America. I mean, since day one, you know, we've always had women in the group, and I've always felt that that if they're that talented, if they're that good, that they deserve to be a part of that. So while many other mariachis, even of today, don't allow women to be in the group, we were one of the very first to do that.
And you did it very well, with so much respect and dignity for those that have played in your group. And also, I have to commend all of you, because I was so impressed. I met Belle through this process, and I have always called her my Texas mom. So when she recently passed, it was the loss of another mom, and I was very, my heart was very challenged and continues to be sad for that. But I decided that I was going to replace that sadness with joy and celebration. She can't be with us physically, but I know that she's going to be sitting in the same box that my mom and dad used to share with her. And she will be ever present, and we're going to do a tribute to Belle this year. But she was just so full of life, and she was so complimentary and so supportive of me. And it wasn't easy. You know, I've been producing shows for a very, very long time, and there's a lot of challenges that come my way. And all of you have always treated me so kindly. I mean, for the longest time, you were all Miss Rodri, Miss Rodri. I finally said, please, just Rodri, Rodri. The respect that is offered by Campanas, and not just Campanas, those that have emulated, you know, arrieros. And I met arrieros because of Belle. Belle invited me. She's come on down, and you've got to audition some of our groups. We want more of our Tejano groups at Mariachi USA, Rodri. And I did. And they had, you know, 5-6 groups lined up for me to audition in this theater. And that's how I met arrieros.
I remember that, yes.
Yes, I met arrieros through you all. And that's how it happens, you know, and we're giving people a bird's eye view of what has transpired over the last 35 years to do what we do best at Mariachi USA at the Hollywood Bowl. And you certainly have been an integral part of what happened then and what continues to happen now. Many of your musicians have gone on to other groups and formed their other groups.
Right.
So,
exactly.
You know, Belle's magic and your influence is seen throughout Texas, and now you have some musicians that have come over to Camperos and other groups. And so that stage is going to be on June 8th of this year, 2024, celebrating our 35th. There's going to be a huge Tejano presence, and a lot of fans are coming out from Tejas, so that the Tejas contingency will be well represented.
You know what?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I talking about that stage and my personal experience with being with Campanas and performing in Mariachi USA at the Hollywood Bowl and now directing it, I feel like that was the largest stage where we could really showcase the true nature of Campanas and the true model of the music that you've created. I know we've put congas on that stage. I know we put keyboards on that stage with us. We have, you know, a magical harpist.
Saxophone. With your grandson.
Oh, yeah.
That stage, you know, is once it's there, I mean, it's like, okay, you've made it, you know, and you've shown your true colors. Share a little bit of how those colors came to be with Campanas and how you brought in, you know, drums and, you know, because I know back then, you know, there was an article written years ago when they heard our new sound. And it just basically said, you know, Campanas has bastardized the music of mariachi.
Yes.
But no, share with the influences and why you thought it was important to do that.
Well, it's important because, first of all, music is music, right, to begin with. Así es que I've always felt a very strong spiritual connection with the music. And what's the first thing and what's the first instrument that we hear as we're in our mother's womb? It's her beat, it's her heartbeat, and that's what we have, and we grow with it. Mariachi has that it has that soul, you know, it has that, you know, that presence that it needs to have rhythm. It's gotta have percussion, and to me it just felt natural to start adding percussion. Now, we didn't create anything new, because there really is nothing new under the sun. Because I would hear Vargas and they were playing with timbales. I would hear Vargas and I would go to the recording studios with them at RCA, and they had a full drummer, a full drum kit. Fernando Maldonado was conducting this recording session. He had a saxophone con Mariachi Vargas. It was all of Mariachi Vargas. So the only difference was that we were now going to, I wanted to incorporate a musician that's part of the ensemble that would be responsible for the percussion of the group. And of course, we were considered heretics when it first came out. We were blasphemers, and we were criticized. That we were clowns, that we were everything from starting with the color of our suits. And it was something that caused and created a noise in mariachi. And once you do things the way you're supposed to do it, now it isn't strange to hear Alejandro Fernandez with the full orchestra, with a full drummer. Juan Gabriel used to do that with all of his. It's not strange to have the mariachis doing choreography. It's not strange for them to be dancing. It's things that I felt were very important, and I kind of feel like I helped mariachis come out of the closet. That's the way I feel.
And you did. Yeah, you did. Yeah. It did do that. You've had an incredible career, because not only performing, I know you're an arranger. I know you've had done over 100 easily with Campanas, maybe more than 200 recordings with various artists in our own group. And I remember you being very strategic about what you would label Campanas. And whenever we did something that was not traditional, you never put the word mariachi in front of the project.
Never.
We were just an ensemble, a band called Campanas de America.
Campanas de America, precisely. There you go. Campanas
de America. And then when we were presented as, in the traditional sense, then, we use the mariachi in front to show that, this is our roots. And I will remind myself that you are a 2-time Grammy winner because of the work you have done. And what did it feel like when you found out you won a Grammy and you're a mariachi musician?
It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. Again, these are pivotal moments that did it really happen? Now I think back. I think when I received the Grammys, I think I kept them in my trunk of my car for 6 years. For six months. I'm sorry, and I didn't take them out because. I kind of felt like, did I really do this? I have them now on a display case, and it really means a lot to me, because these are dreams that by the grace of God, I think, and I don't think by the grace of God, I know that I was able to obtain this. I mean, now I don't want you to think that God played the violin, that God did this, or no. But he gives us the strength. He gives us the passion for us to do what we do. And in that sense, it's work. It is undeniably work. And ya voy close. Ya voy para 50 años con Campanas de América. Así es que. Oof. Ahí vamos. Ahí vamos. Yeah.
I always, for those who have seen our show or don't see our show, haven't seen our show, we do a little, Juan and I are Mutt and Jeff on the stage, we're Abbott Costello, Lauren Hardy.
Abbott and Costello, that's what I think.
And Juan will play the straight guy, and I would make the commentary, yep. And I would ask him, how long you been playing the violin, Juan? And he goes, I said, Juan, I can imagine you as a young child sitting in your room, looking out the window, practicing, watching those dinosaurs walk by. And that would be part of our shtick. But
yeah, that's right.
But in the whole space of time, you're still young in one. I know you have a lot more to do with Campanas
that you must do. You yes. must do well, because we need to squeeze every single ounce of mariachi DNA into the world.
Well, the grandkids are coming up. They're falling in love with it. They're catching the mariachi fever. The man, Roland Sinduda, since I put the guitar on him when he was 10 years old, here, you're now going to be the guitar player. So Anthony, I saw Anthony, and I would go to the rehearsals that he would have with his dance company, and I saw that he could play the guitar, and I said, hey, let's put that to work. Don't just be... Anthony would play one song on the guitar all the time. I said, Anthony, don't play that song anymore.
He hated it.
Don't play that song. Don't do that. Don't do that.
It's like three strings that I would pluck and just move one finger.
Listen, Anthony, mira, aquí está un violín. We're going to put you in the violin. They said, no, I can't. Play. No, no, no. You can do it. You know what? I always realize that Anthony has the passion. Anthony has the love. And for me, it's never been about anything else. There are a couple of things. I view what I've done through education as mariachi, as a tool to maximize the students' academic potential. Excellent. That's what I've always believed in. Okay. And then number two, I've always had a struggle with the spiritualness of having mariachis accepted in a church environment. I grew up in a strict fundamental Baptist environment where my dad was the minister, my mother was the music minister, and my dad called me one day and said, you need to come to church right now real quickly, Juan, because the church is getting ready to excommunicate you from the church. And from them, I'll always remember that day because it was 1976. It was 1976.
Wow.
And I had to go and defend myself. Fortunately, and by the blessing, I had three of the board directors that backed me up. And I was not excommunicated from the church.
So they wanted to excommunicate you because you were playing mariachi?
Because I was playing mariachi. And I was playing mariachi in the church. It was sacrilegious. Mm. Era música de la cantina. Era música del diablo. And that's the way the church viewed it, and that's what kind of set me on the track to go, you know what, this is where my passion is going to go to. This is where I feel that God's leading me, and this is what I'm going to do. Besides the education, I've always heard that the word mariachi in itself has a connotation of less than. And I've lived it because I've been with some of my family members in mariachi and family members in Mexico. And ¿por qué clase de carro tienes tú? Pues yo tengo un Chevrolet. Ah, es cualquier mariachi. You know, it's quite, in other words, it was low class. It was low class. That's even from the people of Mexico. Es cualquier mariachi, you know. And you know what? My father, I don't know if he did it consciously or subconsciously, but my dad had the very first two albums of Mariachi Vargas de Calitlán in his library. And being the minister that he was, when he would put the LP on and Vargas started playing Guadalajara, my dad put his hands behind his back y comenzaba a zapatear.
Ooh.
that's why I'm telling you, kid. The seed was planted way back then. Way, way back then. And I've always felt that our culture is beautiful. You don't have, I mean, anything can be used for any purpose. And when you talk about, I mean, the whole culture of the mariachi, of the, yes, we do have our drawbacks like any other profession does. But when you look how beautiful the women dress, when you look at all the beautiful regions all over Mexico, when you think of the jarochos, you think about los trios huastecos, when you think about the banda, when you think about the mariachi, when you think about the orquestas playing at los kioscos, all of that, our culture is beautiful. We should not be embarrassed of it. So, con todo respeto y no agraviando aquí nada de mi gran compañera Rodri, because I know Rodri es mexicana de corazón, pero nació in Cuba. Is that correct?
You're absolutely right.
There you go. So no one loves our culture more than all the Latin Americans. You don't even have to be Latin American. You can go to Spain. You can go to all these places. They love mariachi.
You know what that is, Juan? You know what? Rodri has created a theory, and it's because we all share one thing. What is that, Rodri?
It's mariachi DNA.
Yes.
Mariachi DNA. And that's something that's...
And that DNA transcends race, transcends religion, that transcends everything. Cuando ya está en la sangre, cuando está uno con eso, puede ser cualquier raza, puede ser cualquier religión, puede ser lo que sea. Te enamoras de lo que es el arte de mariachi.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. And you said it succinctly, and that is what we are all about, and that is what we must impart on all of the new audiences that we acquire, and not necessarily of a young age. We acquire new audiences of different ages because they are just discovering mariachi. Maybe they just heard mariachi. There's a lot of people that go to Hollywood Bowl, to Mariachi USA for the first time, just out of curiosity, because they hear about the phenomena that is Mariachi USA. They think, I got to be there. I just want to go check this thing out. I can't believe that you can sit through 5 hours of mariachi. And, you know, since...
Se pasan como si sería como media hora. That's what it feels like.
Exactly. And that was that first year. Everyone says, oh, no, you'll be happy if you get, you know, maybe 500, 1,000 people there. That wasn't my vision. I always knew that we were going to sell out. But they said, but that's a long time to be listening. Who can put up with mariachi for that long? And those naysayers were the very ones that wanted to stay longer. You know, we have that every single year. It's not just the first year. Every single year we have to tell people, move it along, you know, move it along. And please don't honk. We're in a residential area, because people leave singing El Rey en Volver y ahí le siguen. And there's a lot of them that go to mariachi restaurants afterwards, or they'll go to each other's houses. And they're still at it at 7, 8 o'clock in the morning.
Right. La torna bola.
Exactly.
That's exactly what happens. Yes, no, definitely. I have a saying, just one more thing. I have a saying that one day I'll be half the man that makes a complete woman.
Ooh, bravo, bravo. I like that one.
You know. No. It is, because men are physically strong, pero el hombre tiene las tres Fs en el mariachi. Tienen que ser feos, tienen que ser fuertes, y tienen que ser forrachos. No, de formales, I'm sorry. Formales.
Well, Juan, as we close off this incredible podcast, you know, I will just tell you personally that, you know, I'm in front of this mic because you put that violin in my hand. So thank you. Thank you very much.
No, gracias.
And thank you, because I have an exceptional director that, again, would not have become a director had he not been a musician in Campanas. That's and right. Had the type of training that he received from you and Belle, whom I love and cherish and will forever honor. And thank you for beyond taking me under your wing just as a producer, but, you know, as a daughter, because I've always felt family with Campanas de America more than anyone could think. That I've stayed at y'all's homes there, and you've introduced me to Tejas and your son Roland and the entire family, Sonny and Annabelle. Oh. I very much feel they're all coming. You know, I couldn't believe they're all going to be attending the 35th. And now even your grandsons, I understand your grandsons have a little mariachi, you know, they're at UT and they formed their little mariachi. So it's, there we go again. You know, it's the history passing it down to the sons and the grandsons. So I'm very excited more than ever about our 35th anniversary, and having your presence on that stage is second to none. So we will see you. Thank you.
Gracias, Rodri.
Thank you. Thank you.
Juan, before you leave.
De parte de Campanas de América and de parte de Texas, we love you, Rodri. Te amamos de corazón.
Gracias,
before
Juan.
We sign off, Juan, please, the legendary adios, the legendary grito of Mr. Juan Ortiz and Campanas.
Este es Juan Ortiz del Mariachi Campanas de América. ¡Ajua!
Wonderful. Thank you, Juan. You take
care. Okay, love you guys.
Love you, too. Juan.
Bye-bye.
Oh,
If you sing El Rey, you have mariachi DNA.
Mariachi USA, the mariachi capital of America.